quite frankly, it's just fucked up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea. It hurts. And it's this through the grace of God that he's still living. Like 7 shots, close range, and he's still alive. That's through the grace of God right there. And my prayers goes out to that family and that community. But I got nothing nice to say about those cops at all.
NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, it's NBA Straya. And it's Tuesday, August 25, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to grease these hairy palms with that booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. There's now tea towels in here. Yeah, great. Awesome. That SodaStream bottle's still here too. Anyway, I'm letting you know who's doing what, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Orlando bubble today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you. Or ripping Straya, just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. It's the NBA playoffs. It's day 8. We've sent a third team home. See you, Indy. And also, Brett Brown has been shit-canned by the Sixers. Yep, Philly have sacked their coach. We'll talk about that a bit. Jesus. We're also going to wrap the games from today, all 4 of them. And there's a lot of other stuff going on. So we'll talk about all that, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's on the knife. Old mate, no mate. Spud of the night. Pantsy of the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball. Yeah, nah. It's unpopular opinion of the day. And a really good Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's a very truncated Australian Player Watch. And because it's Tuesday, we've got a brand new Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award. Pretty good one, too. There's also a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow, only 2 of them. They're brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your NBA betting needs. We're going to close out with a brand new Jingles HR. Love it. He answers a question from Brett at the Dream Resort Hotel Bar in Orlando, Florida. Nice one. All right. NBA Straya episode 466. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Well, Kenny did today on TNT, didn't he? Shaq was about to pounce on him as he came out of the board. Kenny snuck around the other way. That was great. Oh, I love inside the NBA. Someone brought up on Twitter how it's just an embarrassment on behalf of ESPN that every time you're actually watching the ESPN broadcasts of these games, at halftime, you're like, fucking, ugh, whatever, and you switch it off. Whereas inside the NBA on TNT, you're fucking riveted. You got Kenny, Chuck, and Shaq. It's great. Ernie, that flog. But still, ESPN just can never seem to get their fucking half times right. And it's like, that's a really good point. Jesus. Anyway, love that today. All right, let's get into some news. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Yes, we're going to have to clap them off. Say goodbye. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming. Yeah, it's the Indiana Pacers. And it's also Brett Brown. They're on their way home because Brett Brown has been fired by the Philadelphia 1-2-3-4-5-6ers after 7 years and a winning record of 39.1%. Not great. 321 wins versus 344 losses, which isn't bad considering how bad the Sixers were designed to be in his first bunch of years there. Pointedly thanked his 102 players. Jesus! In his tenure there. Which really goes to show, remember, there's only 15 players on a fucking NBA roster. He's gone through 102. That's a little jab at how much roster churn the Sixers have gone through. It's a shot across the bow, if you will. Really classy sort of thank you goodbye from Brett Brown. As you'd expect, he's beloved, I think, around the league. And Warridge actually tweeted that out, basically saying he's well-respected inside and outside the organization, credited with shepherding the Sixers through the process and eventually into the playoffs of the man who fired him. Brett Brown called Elton Brand a high-character talent that the 76ers are fortunate to have. I tend to kind of maybe agree with some of that. We'll talk about that later. Warridge also then tweeted out the plan is to have Brand continue to oversee basketball ops, but the personnel and structure in the front office are going to undergo significant evaluation and changes looming. I don't know, man. I reckon they bring someone in over the top of Elton Brand and fire everyone else because they're a whole bunch. Like, basically, everybody else left in that front office there in Sixerland is basically Colangelo Apparatchik. And Apparatchik? There you go. Everyone underneath Brand is left from the Colangelo regime, and they were all fucked in the head, and they're basically why the Sixers are in this mess. So yeah, I reckon someone might come in over the top and we'll see what happens there. But among the early coaches that Philly apparently looking at, there's apparently mutual interest between themselves and Ty Lue, Cavs championship coach Ty Lue and Clippers assistant currently. 76ers Ime Udoka in-house. I don't know if you want to go in-house with all this though. Unless they all fucking love Ime Udoka and think he's going to bring in like a brand new sort of strategy and can really, like, get Ben and Joel to listen. I don't know if you want to do the internal approach. And Villanova's Jay Wright, which is always going to get thrown around. I'll talk about that again a bit later. Other news. The T-Wolves. Glenn Taylor, he's in advanced talks to sell the team to a group led by former Grizz minority owner David E. Strauss. I'm going to talk about this again later, but if you ask me, KG is probably just trawling the streets of Manhattan right now, paying off a bunch of gambling debts and collecting some debts and trying to find a dazzling gem that he once caught his eye. What do you reckon? Love that. We mentioned this the other day about Greg Popovich to the Nets and how every team every year should be trying to poach Pop. That's pretty funny. And so I think I got thrown out by Bleacher Report last week, which is when we were talking about it. Now Shams from The Athletic is like, that's a legit thing. He's beloved by Kevin Durant, dating back to OKC, maybe like throwing a bit of a bone out there back in 2015. And that's pretty good. I still reckon that Coach Pop might be one of the very few people that might be able to keep KD and Kyrie not in line, but at least on course, you know, which is kind of what you need with those dudes. So that's going to be fascinating. But I love the idea of Pop to the Nets. I do feel like Ty Lue is going to basically look at the teams that are the closest to championship contention. We'll look at the Nets. We'll look at the Sixers. Probably have his choice between those two. We'll talk about that again later. And finally, and probably most importantly, well, definitely most importantly, really, 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 really impressed by the NBA players, but especially LeBron, AD, even Kuzma, and then Danny Green today after their game against the Blazers, speaking about Jacob Black and the shooting that occurred in Kenosha, Wisconsin, about how basically the Lakers players coming off the court and then being asked basically to eloquently express their feelings about being black in America is just fucking brutal each time. But I think the way they did it today and how black folk in America have to deal with the ever-present threat of police was fascinating. Police, I mean, look, it goes without saying, police shouldn't be a threat. They're there literally to protect and serve. And for all those fuckwits out there who say shit like, well, if you don't do anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about. That dude was breaking up a fight and got shot in the back in front of his kids. He was going to his car. Get the fuck. Look, if I don't comply with requests when I'm like requests from police when I'm white, they don't fucking shoot me. I don't get shot 7 times in the back. But also, not complying with police requests doesn't mean a fucking death sentence. Fuck me, man. This shouldn't be so hard. But anyway, powerful stuff from LeBron, AD, Danny Green, Kuz, and everybody else who spoke. It was really fun. Like even George Hill coming out and saying, look, man, Donovan Mitchell tweeting out, fuck this, fuck the playoffs, what are we doing? And George Hill being like really super emotional about it, obviously. Really, really tough. I mean, especially after months and months and months of protest about this exact sort of shit, and it just keeps fucking happening. This is what they're fighting for, and they're doing as much as they can. Gonna see a bit more change. What do you reckon? All right, let's do some game raps for today on that really uplifting note. game raps. Let's do it, Milwaukee. I hear it's our gonking for the good land. Not if you're black. Jesus. 121, they beat Orlando. 106. This was a weirdly close game, actually, until Chris O'Middleton smoked him in the fourth. He had 18 of his 21 points in the last stanza. It started off 1 of 9. Jesus. They're only up 3, actually, going into the fourth. 2, their midi scored 11 points. They went on an 18-2 run to basically blow the doors off this one. He hit 3 3-pointers and a mid-range jumper there. Which is beautiful, and they went up basically 19 points. Like, oh, shit. Cool. There you go. Doors are off it. Magic Man, they couldn't do anything. Vooch had 31, 11, and 7. Went 6 of 10 from 3. He's been unreal all series, and Buds was asked about it after. He's like, yeah, that's fine, man. Let Vooch eat. We're just protecting the paint so they can't come in, can't drive. Vooch, I mean, he took 10 threes. That's probably where you want him to go, so good on. T-Rolls went 1 of 8 from downtown for his 19, and Markel Fultz, former Sixer. Oh, jeez. 15 points, 7 assists. Shot 6 of 15, though. And Evan Fournier, don't Google me. 4 of 14. Oh, that's as bad as Googling Evan Fournier. For the Bucks, they shot 17 of 41 from 3. Giannis was unstoppable. 31, 15, and 8. He was unreal. I think he shot something like 12 of 14 in the paint. It was amazing. Midi ended up with 21 of 10. Shot 7 of 19 after starting 1 of 9. Not bloody bad. 4 of 7 from downtown as well. And the bench had 42 for the Bucks. Everyone scored for the Bucks bench. Good on them. Lopez, Bledsoe, look, they just did their jobs. Milwaukee got 3-1. Good stuff. Rockets Thunder was an absolute fucking rip snorter. I'm loving this series. This is an absolute pearler. The Rockets won the first two games. Thunder have come back, leveled the series. They win this 117-114, an absolute arm wrestle. They were down 15 in the third, the Thunder. Houston hit 8 straight threes to kick off the third. Then they couldn't fucking buy one the rest of the way. I think Chuck said it best, where he's like, they fell in love with the pretty girl, but never realized she was as dumb as rocks. They went 5 of 26 from 3 after they hit those 8 straight. Unbelievable. Chris Paul took charge in the third quarter. He had 14 points. They ended up going down 1 into the fourth. Just a great charge by the Thunder all the way through that third quarter. German Rondo, I am Dennis Schroeder. He had the first bucket of the fourth, and then suddenly the Thunder in the lead. You're like, what the fuck just happened? They lost it on the next possession, but, I mean, it didn't matter. Like, away they went. It was just an arm wrestle down the stretch. The only buckets that the Rockets scored until 5 minutes left in the game were 2 Covington threes. But it didn't really, like, the Thunder couldn't quite pull ahead enough. Houston got the lead again, I think. It was Harden with about 4 minutes left. Big buckets. Then Schroeder got it back. Then Harden got it back with 2:40 left. Eric Gordon got a steal. Missed a three. A crucial three. They could have gone up 4. And then Chris Paul just takes charge, hits 2 massive buckets in the next minute, and they never give up the lead, the Thunder. Harden hits another 3 with 16 seconds left, gets him back within 2, but Schroeder and CP3 hit their free throws, close it out. There's a 3 at the buzzer, doesn't matter, whatever. Wildly fun game. Rockets took 58 threes and hit 23 of them. The record's 27. That was unreal. Only 10 free throws, though, and you got to feel like that imbalance is not great for the Rockets. 28 free throws for the Thunder, 10 for the Rockets. So you've also got to take to the rack, Houston. Just saying. Harden at 32 points and 15 assists. Not bloody bad. 6 turnovers, 11 to 25 shooting. But it was dudes like pretty much El Jefe Green was off. Thank you, El Jefe. It's what he does. It's what he does best. Jeff Green just disappears in big moments. Thrift Shop only went 1 of 3. Austin Rivers sucked. Cav had 14 and 6. 11 and 11 for PJ Tucker. And 21 and 6 for Danny Dr. House Jr. to go with Eric Gordon's 23 points. But it's weird, but it just wasn't enough from the Rockets' other guys. And when those threes weren't going, there's no backup plan. There's no like, ah, fuck it, let's get an easy bucket by throwing in the big guy, because there is no big guy. They're easy buckets. Like, give it to Harden and try to get free throws. So tough scenes. The Thunder, Chris Paul was unreal. 26 points, 10 and 19 shooting. Didn't hit a three. Went 0 of 5 from deep. Didn't really matter. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander was incredible all game. He is a menace. Tell you what, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, an absolute gun. And John Rondo had the dad bounce. Love the dad bounce. Was shit for the first couple of games, having become a dad. And then he's like, wait a minute, I'm a gun. I'm German. 10 of 16 shooting, 30 points, 4 of 7 from downtown. Get on you, German Rondo. And Danilo Gallinari struggled offensively for most of the game, then had a big drive and free throws late that really, really helped the Thunder get over the hump. Great game. Can't wait for games 5 and 6 in this one. All tied up 2-2. Love it. Thunder Rockets is fun as shit. Not as much fun was Pacers Heat. Heaters, close it out. 4-0. Pacers had home court advantage. I believe they are the first team in bubble history to have home court advantage and get swept. 99-87. Same story as the other three games. Without the Souvlaki King, DeMarcus Sabonis, and only, 70% of Victor Oladipo? Yeah, that's 70. He looks about 70. Pacers couldn't quite hang offensively with the Heaters at all. And this game was close too. The Pacers got the jump early, and then the Heat just sort of wrested control from them and never let it up. I mean, they rode Gore on the flog and Olynyk. In that second and third quarter, there was just these stretches where it'd be dudes from the Heat where it's like, oh, Olynyk just got a bucket. Kendrick Lamar Nunn got a bucket. Oh, weird. It's just weird. Iggy got a bucket. Derek Jones Jr. jumps all over Miles Turner. That was sick. They just found a way, even with Jimmy Butts fucking his shoulder and, wanting to sort of come in, go hard. He couldn't really score. He had 6 points in his 23 minutes, did Butts. It actually looked like they were just going to not put him back in the game because they were up pretty big in the third quarter, up like 13 or something. And it's like, well, fuck it. Like, even if you lose this year, you're still up 3-1. But they rode it out, and it was fine. Goran really just took over, and that was great. So good job by the Heaters for the Pacers. Victor! At 25 points. Oh, Jimmy, that's not bad yet. 9-19 shooting, though, again. 5-11 from downtown. His best game in the series, though. You got to give it to him. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, 4 turnovers. Look, you got to hope that he comes back next year. Firing on all cylinders. Well, next year, next season, it all works. Bubble MJ. TJ Warren turned back into TJ Warren, didn't he? 21 points, 8 of 17 shooting. Turner was really good in this one. But still, just a little bit too floaty for my liking. 22 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. Only 2 of 6 from 3. And El Presidente, after a great game 3, has a horrible game 4. 13 points of 5 of 16 shooting. And the bench for the Pacers had 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting combined. Just nothing there. For the Heaters, Goran at 23. He was great. Bam! 14, 19 rebounds. Jesus. To go 6 assists, 6 turnovers, and 6 made field goals in 16 attempts. Tyler, there goes my hero. Was very handy, 16 points. But I mentioned his 6 in 23 minutes, struggling with the shoulder. Iggy played a little bit more, which was nice to see. And Kendrick Lamar Nunn got out there for a bit of run. 2 of 5 for his 7 points. And Derek Jones Jr., as mentioned, had a sick dunk right over the top of Miles Turner. Miami, sweep, 4-0. Good on him. Fun times against Milwaukee. And then finally, the Lakers, they shit-pumped the Blazers 135-115 on Mamba Day, 24th of the 8th, in stupid-ass backwards. Look, of all the problems America has, of which there are a fucking litany, it can all be writ large in just the way that they do their stupid fucking dates. Why on fucking earth would you put the month before the day, you morons? They still use the imperial system. We get it. They're all fucking idiots. But just put the days before the months, before the years. This shit isn't rocket science. No, but like, we're going to do it our way, even though the rest of the world does it this way. You arrogant fuckwits. No wonder your culture's fucked. Anyway, look, Blazers reeling from an opening salvo. That on Mamba Day actually ended up with the Lakers up 24-8. Remarkable stuff. But it was just a punching in the face from the start. The Lakers were up 15-0 on it. It was crazy. 24-8 run to open on Kobe Day. Blazers just never got back into it. They just never got a look in. I mean, look, I keep saying they only lost game one because the other dudes were shit. And when the Lakers' other dudes hit shots, they're fine. And they were fine today. They're pretty good, and that equals a shit pumping. So they had 80 points in the first half. That's the most points they've ever had in a playoff half since 1986. Jesus. And it was good to see Frank Vogel coming out and saying, Kobe made being a Laker cool as hell. Proving once and for all that Frank Vogel has never heard, apparently, of Magic Johnson. Blazers Dame hurt his left knee and went off to have an MRI. Only played 27 minutes. The first one came back inconclusive. They're going to do another one tomorrow. Hopefully he's all good to go for game 5. It'd be a real fucking shame for the Blazers to go out without Dame. After this crazy, weird Portland season where they finally get some dudes back, they go on a bit of a run, they make the playoffs, and then they just get completely worn down, huh? Anyway, 11 points in his 27 minutes. CJ at 18 points, couldn't step up in his absence. Remember, the dude has got a broken back. Nurkic had 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 assists. Just couldn't dominate, though. Just nothing really going. Melo, is it me you're looking for? 16 points and 15 shots. 1 of 6 from downtown. Thanks for coming, Melo. Whinge and Hassan Whiteside also started next to Nurk. The big Twin Towers thing, yep, didn't really work. 11-3, only played 17 minutes. Extended garbage time means we got some Super Mario. It's pretty great, 11 points. Wenyan, and he was out there. Gary Trent Jr. played 34 minutes. That's pretty good. But Lakers shot over 56%, went 17 of 39 from 3. And look, when I say 17 of 39, get rid of like all the shit blokes, like Dion, JR, etc. The ones that matter. LeBron, he went 4 of 5. Danny Not the Boxer Green, he went 3 of 4. The notorious KCP goes 2 of 4. And Kuz goes 5 of 9. So when you take in those four big shooters for the Lakers going 14 of 22 from downtown, makes a big fucking difference, huh? LeBron finished with 36 and 10 in only 28 minutes. It was unreal. AD at 18, 5 and 5 left with back spasms. Reckons he's 100% ready to go for game 5, though. KCP had 12, Green had 14, both shot 5 of 8. Kuz ends up with 18. Dion, JR, etc. got some run, but they just look like trash. There was a great moment where JR missed a defensive switch, threw his arms up in confusion, and so did LeBron. It's like, nature is healing. Lakers go up 3-1. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, man. Look, Giannis, 31, 15, and 8 in 34 minutes, shooting 14 of 21. He's got at least 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists in all 4 games to start the playoffs. But LeBron. Man, come on Mamba Day. 24th of the 8th, 8:24, they're wearing the Mamba jerseys. Just goes fucker bang with extreme prejudice, 30 points. The best part was he just came out ready to fucking kill, didn't he? The Lakers just came out with a fucking sense of just, let's steamroll these motherfuckers like Kobe would and never let them even get in the game. And that's exactly what happened. Loved it. Might have been the jerseys, might have been the date, but it was great. And LeBron, 30 points on 10 of 12 shooting, 4 of 5 from downtown, including one that put them up 30 that was just a slap. That was like a fucking turkey slap. He just whipped out his old fella and just went bang across the forehead of Melo. Get that out of your mind. 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 turnovers. Just a great game. Loved it. Honorable mention goes to CP3. Took over and when needed. Answered the call. Love that. And the 30 from Shooter as well. Just love a good dad bounce game. I do bring up the odd occasion. The dad stuff is hilarious. It's like, dude, fucking El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon had one last year. And what was it? You've got Shooter rolling in today with the 30. Mike Conley comes back to the bubble. And I'm like, Jason Tatum like went in like a 2-month funk after he had his kid last year. But then once they come good, it's all good. And I'm like, dude, the fact that they're even out there playing professional basketball is remarkable. I couldn't tie my shoes for like 3 fucking weeks after we had the squid, you know? Good on them. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it's Brett Brown. Well, you've now got Brett Brown to kick around anymore. Jonathan Simmons was like, about time they fired his ass. Josh Richardson, a bit of a snake. Oh, man, it'd be nice if you had more accountability. Maybe if you did your fucking job, Richo. But also, look, Brett Brown copping a kicking on the way out is not a surprise. It is Philly, and it is a front office trying to protect their jobs. Hopefully they fire all those motherfuckers. But Old Mate Nomates also goes to Brian Colangelo and his collar party. There's a big, huge collar-sized fucking hanger gap in the little thank you from Brett Brown. Thanked literally everybody, I think, but the Colangelos. So, you know, they are the ones who fucked everything up after all. So good on him, on your Brett. And also an extra Old Mate Nomates. I'm about to drop a spud of the night on him, but Paul George, disabling comments on his Instagram, unless he follows you. Ah, yeah. I'm out there. I don't even care what you say about me, haters. Yeah, good on you, Playoff P. Fucking thin skin. Look, I think it was a Dan Josh who messaged me before. He's like talking about, listening to Dan talking about Playoff P. And, you know, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, how he was like, oh, man, if I hit more shots, it'd be a bit different. It's like, yeah, if you weren't shit, you wouldn't be shit. That's how it goes, Paul. Why are you stating the obvious? He's going to come out with like a marshmallow man-sized fucking thing on his shoulder. Just watch. Oh, my shoulder's a bit twingy. And as I'm a bloke who can barely lift his fucking right arm above his shoulder, Jesus. Feel for you, Paul, but also, stolen valor. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Indy, look, Juzzy Holiday. 1 of 5 for Juzzy Holiday. And that bench, I mentioned it, 1 of 7 combined. So outside of Victor Oladipo, Bubble MJ, Al Prez, and Miles Turner. Nothing going for Indy. They're all spuds. Duncan Robinson went 2 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 7 from downtown. But the Heaters, look, they got the win. They get the sweep. Doesn't matter then. And one of my favorite spuds in the night, Paul George. After 3 games, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, after his horrifying display, 3 of 14 yesterday, he is the first player to shoot under 25% in three straight playoff games since Bob Cousy in 1960. With a minimum of 10 field goal attempts. That, look, Paul George having the worst fucking shooting since segregation is pretty spud worthy. But really, how about we go Panting of the Night and Spud of the Night, all combined. Look, Vooch got by Giannis, hot damn, after a nice big Euro step. Euro slammed on Vooch. But Spud of the Night and Panting of the Night. It was great to see Chris Webber trending, wasn't it? It's just nice when you're like, look, I'm not screaming into the void here. I'm not fucking just sitting there being angry at Chris Webber for nothing. It turns out everybody hates Chris Webber. It's like the telly show. Chris Webber's a fucking piece of shit. No, everyone hates Chris. I mean, come the fuck, he's just that bad. He was trending today. He had a great moment where I'm like sitting there going, did he just say that Miami went up 2-0 on Dallas in 2011? They didn't. It was 1-1. What the fuck? And you're like, ah, oh, this is just the Chris Webber experience writ large, isn't it? And there was a moment where he's like, we can use the word aggressive. It's like how the Smurfs use the word Smurf. And then he's like, oh, this is actually what we mean. It's like, what are you even fucking talking about? And then he's talking about being a black man in America and just goes off in the middle of the sentence. And, like, this is the thing. He can barely string, like, a proper sentence together that makes cohesive sense at the best of times. And when he's distracted by something, like LeBron hitting a shot, it's like, I'd just like to say this to put a button on it. It's a beautiful shot and the Lakers are up. But as a black man in this country, you've got to compartmentalize. So, okay. Chris, what? And then later he's like, ah, oh, LeBron did a reverse layup to tell Kobe he's thinking about him. It's like, what? What are you fucking talking about? The best bit is, I don't know, like, we keep talking about NBA ratings being down and not one person has ever mentioned it's because Chris Webber is apparently fucking out there doing something on it, you know? Like, no one ever brings up that Chris Webber is on these television broadcasts and the ratings are down. There's a direct correlation, you know? And you can also see why the rest of the Fab Five think he's a complete fuckwit. And look, I mentioned this yesterday. He talks like he's reading the predictive text on his phone. And once you think that, you can't unthink it and you can't ever stop thinking about it. I don't know. Chris Webber also strikes me as this sort of like bloke who's like secretly votes for Trump. You know what I'm saying? But the worst part is, look, Chris Webber and the Chris Webber experience is exactly a direct correlation of his basketball career to his commentating career. He's 100% the kid at school who never did the work, never did homework, coasted by on charisma and being the best basketball player or athletic football player, whatever you want to call it. And he either paid or beat up a nerd every so often to do his homework. He charmed the pants off the teachers. They loved him. He probably banged one of the teachers. And he never got into trouble because of it. And basically had everything come to him really easy, so he never had to do any of the extra work. And you can see it in his basketball career. Like, all the natural talent in the world, always shied away from the big moments because he didn't know what the fuck to do when the shit got hard. And he never won shit because of it. I mean, as old Matty Koss said on Twitter today, he's the kid who does nothing on the group project and still ends up with an A+, you know? Like, I don't know who out there has achieved less and gotten paid more than Chris Webber. It's crazy. He's the kid who 100% never does homework, never puts in the work, and you can tell when he fucks up continuously and tries to overextend. Like, some of his actual in-game offensive defensive analysis is fine, but literally everything else is fucking horrible. And it's, you know, that's those moments where he's sitting there going, man, Denver, man, we're crowning Denver. And like, you know, they haven't done anything. It's like, no one crowned Denver, Chris. What are you fucking talking about, you lunatic? Oh, when Miami went up 2-0 on Dallas, man, this coach really helped kick it back into gear and win the finals. It's like, no, they were never down 2-0, you fucking idiot. Chris Webber is like the part of the night when you've had about 5 too many beers, maybe 6, maybe 8. We've all been there. I definitely have. And you start talking and like 20 seconds in, you can't remember what you were saying or talking about. And you just keep talking and you make zero fucking sense. That's Chris Webber. Ugh. It's shit talk. It's shit-faced shit talk. That's all it is. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Ooh, coming for everybody. Just imagine if Lonzo was average. Tyler, there goes my hero. 16 points today, 7 of 13 shooting, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, hit some big buckets. And look, for a rookie, defensively is wildly sound. I'm loving it. Like, watching Miami is so fucking, like, awesomely basketball nerdy fun. Because they're just good. They just do their job. And same goes for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Old Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is a fucking gun. 18 points today. 7 to 17 shooting. Oh, Jimmy, that's not good. Yeah, but he backed it up. Went 2 of 5 from downtown. Has 12 rebounds and 6 assists. Only one turnover. He was great. So that was awesome. Love me a bit of Shai Redder. And they are both better. And Lonzo Ball. All right, let's do some ENRs. A lot of six talk right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some ENRs. And as usual, NBA Australia's ENRs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne under lockdown, mate, just get your lips around some of their Ripper Booze specials. Get it delivered to your door. It's the best part of it all. It's delivered and it's cheap AF. Now you get like the Dos Blocos, the Lick Pier Ginger Beer, the Samples, Dos X. And now they've got a bunch of wines and cocktails for you, so the missus doesn't have to miss out. Or even if you like wine or cocktails. Fuck, I love a cocktail. Do Margarita Fridays here at the old Casa del Strea. So there you go. Cocktails and wine. Bob's your uncle. In order to celebrate the NBA playoffs and commiserate this ongoing lockdown, use the promo code Strea for a free bonus sixer of the new Dos Blocos X. The Dos X, I love that. With any purchase over 50 wing whams. And you can use the code as many times as you want throughout the playoffs. It's ripper. So remember, it's for the Metro Melbourne area. Same day delivery before 1. Go get around thedailyliquor.com right now. Smash the code Straya. Buy a slab. Buy a cheeky bottle of wine from the missus. And get a free sixer on me. Love it. You'll thank me later when she's like, oh, thanks for buying me that bottle of wine. Now I'm hammered. Let's fucking root. Woo! party. All right, let's do some yeah nahs. We'll take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether more yeah, more nah. Number one, is this all Brett Brown's fault? Yeah, nah. Nah, of course not. There's a great piece by John Hollinger about how the front office have just shit the bed repeatedly. There's a great quote in it. The irony is that the Sixers' litany of mistakes over the past 3 years don't prove the process was a mistake. They reveal what an overwhelming advantage it gave to a team. Oh, that was a good one. Absolutely amazing stuff. And there's a great one on Bleacher Report, actually, by Yaron Weitzman, who actually just popped up on the Zach Lowe podcast, I think, called the How the Philadelphia 76ers Wasted Their Once Bright Future. And it really, really digs down into how the front office moves combined with some of the foibles of Brett Brown really just sort of came home to roost. And it's exactly right. It's all about the mishandling of all the assets they had and how they wanted to construct a team around Joel and Ben, and the way they went around about it was fucked. And I think the Bleacher Report piece really, really talks about the idea of them settling and deciding on Al Horford as opposed to Jimmy Butler. And at the time, you're like, all right, cool. Al Horford will probably help them when they're trying to take on Giannis. That makes sense. But also, Jimmy Butler, probably JJ Redick, you lose them in order to sign Horford. And that's a 33-year-old big man who was shit last year for the Celtics and was shit this year for the Celtics, for the Sixers. Now, if you notice an ongoing trend, it's that Al Horford's shit. But the biggest part of it all, I think you come away from looking at all this Sixers stuff is, in 2016, the real, like, the two franchise centerpieces were Ben Simmons, Big Simo, and Joel Embiid. And 4 years later, there's literally nothing else. There's Ben Simmons, Big Simo, and Joel Embiid, who are just now older and angrier. It's absolutely crazy. So, there was also a great little breakdown. If the Sixers don't trade Mikal Bridges, who they took at, what, 11? 2018, and then literally did nothing but retain their guys after draft night they'd have. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, JJ Redick, Robert Covington, Mikal Bridges, Landry Shamwow Shamit, Shake Milton, Dario Saric, Furkan Korkmaz, Rashawn Holmes, Timothy Lualu Cabarrot, and Markelle Fultz, and $18 million in unused cap space for this year, as well as all their own picks, including the one that became Matisse Thybulle. So I don't think you can blame Brett Brown for that one. Brett Brown didn't trade Dario Saric for Jimmy Butler and then let Jimmy Butler walk for nothing. Brett Brown didn't trade Markelle Fultz for Jonathan fucking Simmons, who was no longer on the team. Brett Brown didn't let Jimmy Butler and JJ Redick walk in order to pay Al Horford and then also sign Tobias Harris to a max contract. Yeah, it wasn't Brett Brown who did that. It's the front office, so yeah. Just saying. Should the Sixers try to hire Ty Lue? Yeah, nah. Nah, but yeah. Look, I'd like a local guy like Villanova's Jay Wright if they were 2 years ago Sixers. Or if they'd maybe even fired Brett Brown last year. If they were a slightly younger, more impressionable team, but they're not now. So, I don't know why people would think that Simo and Embiid and all the vets on that team would suddenly be like, oh, cool, this college coach has never been in the NBA. We're going to listen to this guy more than a guy who's won titles in San Antonio and has been with them since they were fucking rookies in Brett Brown. And I feel like that's why Kenny Atkinson obviously wouldn't work there too. It's like, oh, yeah, cool, you're a development coach. Well, what are you going to do, develop Al Horford? So, I still kind of feel like it'd be fucking great to see Mike D'Antoni there once he inevitably gets shit canned by Houston. Just chaos engine. But Ty Lue will be the name you keep on hearing. And as mentioned, Ty Lue will be basically having his choice between this and the Nets job, I'd say, because he wants to coach a contender and prove that he's like a fucking championship coach for real properly, even not just with LeBron. And look, another name that does get thrown around, I just don't know, but maybe he has learnt just a little bit more after going back into the coaching wilderness. Would Jay Kidd be the worst idea? Really kick some fucking sense into Simo and Embiid. You know that he's not going to be afraid of confronting them. Maybe something like that could. Maybe Fizdale. Ooh, no, probably not. But anyway, look, I kind of think Ty Lue might be the answer there, but it's
going to be very interesting. Does Brett Brown being out mean bad things for Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff sticking with the Sixers next year? Yeah, nah. Look, honestly, probably yeah. It should be fucking nah, though. Rowdy is the exact type of player that the Sixers need, a big wing who can shoot the shit out of it. But look, with a big house clean, which is inevitable, comes a bunch of new guys, and inevitably a bunch of new guys, they're not going to be as enamored with people who just got signed. So I don't necessarily expect and wouldn't be surprised if Rowdy ends up back in Dallas. They just need heaps of shooters around Luka and Zinger. Yeah. Next up, was this indie season a disappointment? Yeah, nah, look, it's what, 4 straight years of first round exits. It's crazy. Nate McMillan is like the worst playoff coaching record, I think, going now, which is just, it's just tough because you love Nate McMillan and every year it seems like it's just something else, doesn't it? He has a 17-36 winning percentage in the playoffs, 32%. That's the worst playoff record in NBA history for coaches with more than 30 games. Tough scenes. But look, when they were healthy, they felt like a super dangerous Smokey. They also ran into the one team that they probably wouldn't be able to beat at any point, which is Miami, especially with no Sabonis and with the shitty 70% Victor Oladipo, and bam, this is where you end up, right? You live by the TJ Warren, you die by the TJ Warren, which is not great, Bob, but I think the pieces are there to make them at least a little bit dangerous next year, so yeah, tough. And speaking of that series, do Miami, moving on to the semis, do they have a chance against, well, it'll be Milwaukee, who are we kidding? They're up 3-1. It's not done yet, but still. Everybody's going to be like, oh, Miami, they could really give them a run. They've got lots of shooting. I'm going to say that Miami have no chance, though, against Milwaukee. Milwaukee covers shooters so fucking well. They're so long and so quick, and they still protect the rim really well. I think the matchup will end up being fine for Milwaukee, and Milwaukee will kick in the engine pretty fucking hardcore against Miami. And I think you'll see like a surprisingly quick series. It'd be 5 games or so. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I think it's fucked that Brett Brown is copping so much shit with all these leaks and, you know, Jonathan Simmons and the types like that, Richo coming out after him, after he ate so much shit for that franchise. Like, the losses are all on his record, don't forget. The Sixers. This was tweeted out. The Sixers failed Brett Brown way more than Brett Brown failed the Sixers. I 100% think that. Like, the one time that Brett Brown had a fully healthy team with all the weapons they actually wanted and that actually made sense, Butler, Harris, Embiid, Simo, they lost on an insane, improbable 4 bounce off the rim, buzzer beater bullshit shot from the bloody NBA champs. Come on, in the second round. He goes back-to-back second rounds. And it's, come on, man. That said, I am still nervous about him being the Aussie coach. Oh, jeez. Can't wait for more of that accent. All right, let's do Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Yep, putting in some classifieds for a new sous chef because these bloody birds just keep wreaking havoc on my staff. But I'll tell you what, it bloody tastes delicious because it's cassowary casserole day here at Outback Takehouse up on that specials board. And it goes great as a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the NBA 100% rigged a lottery as either a new buyer's gift or as a placating way of letting players walk to the Lakers. You saw the Pelicans get the number 1 in Zion after the Bensons keep the team and lose AD. And you've just seen the Timberwolves get the number 1 as a welcoming gift to the new bloke who was this close to buying them from Glenn Taylor. That's no bloody coincidence. Only at Outback. I mean, it was pretty crazy that they win the lottery on Friday. And then today it comes out, oh, and also this guy's about to buy the new team. Rigged. Rigged. Right there. All right. We're back with the Australian Player Watch and the Shane Hill Award. Right after, let's say, this one from Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. We've only got one Aussie left. How tough is it? We've got Jingles. He's up against the Nugs tomorrow. Should be fun. He's had a rough game 3 and 4. He's hoping game 5 comes right for him as well. But it was really sad that Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff didn't get to get out there. Obviously, Simo hurting himself. Really, really stymied the Australians' involvement in these playoffs. And Ozzie Mattisse didn't do himself too many favours there against the Celtics either. But bit of a shame, bit of a shame. So Simo, Ozzie Mattisse, Rowdy, they join Patty Thrills, Bangers, Kangaroo Kobe, King Daly, Kung Fu Thon, even Son of Bruce off there on the playoff we didn't get there list, which is a shame. So you got Jingles out there loudly and proudly flying the Aussie flag. All right, but it is Tuesday, so what do we do on Tuesdays? It's time for a Shane Heal. Shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. And if there's anyone at the moment who is personifying the hammer, it's the man I call Steve Francis 2.0, who is making me look like a fucking moron. Thanks a lot, Donnie. It's Donovan Mitchell. He is out there absolutely fucking crushing it at the moment. In this series against Denver so far, he's dropped 57, 30, 20, and 51. Unbelievable. Joining AI and MJ is the only two blokes to drop 50 pieces in the same playoffs. Absolutely crazy stuff. The best part is he's shooting the fucking lights out. 19 of 33 for his 57. 10 of 14 for his 30. 5 of 13 for the 20, but still. And 15 of 27 for his 51 piece the other day. He's knocked in just a lazy 18 threes on, 35 attempts. Jesus, not bloody bad. And crushing it. 57, 30, 20, and 51. The Donovan fucking Mitchell. In terms of actual, hammer comparisons, right there. Like, this is what? Brisbane Bullets era Shane Heal. In his pomp. Sydney King Shane Heal. What do you reckon? All right, let's go and do a Patty Mills Game Day Twitter check-in. Oh, and it's from Ben Simmons. That's right, Big Simo is actually taking the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in today. And Simo tweeted out today, watching my team get swept hurt, and I don't ever want to feel that way again. That's cool, Ben. Take a fucking jump shot, Ben! Shoot a three! Open it up a bit. Fuck, it's not rocket surgery, mate. Jesus! Woo! Tell you what, come the fuck on, man. All right, let's do some game previews and picks, shall we? Game previews. Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem.
How are you feeling about the Brett Brown firing?
Well, Jimmy, I was born in the darkness. You just grew here.
Well, I'm not a Sixers fan, Inadvertent Bane. Settle down. Anyway, the game previews and picks are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Remember to go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. We went 2 of 4 today. We nailed the Miami pick because the Pacers went 0-4 against the spread this entire series, which is pretty crazy. It was meant to be, pretty well matched, and it wasn't like that. And Orlando just fell short of covering the 13.5, which I thought they might do. It was only 15 in the end, but still. Anyway, so what have we got? We've got basically, 2 of 4. That means that we are now 16 of 30 for the playoffs, and overall for the season, 566 of 1,008. And the games tomorrow, we have an absolute rip-snorter schedule. Utah at Denver. Utah basically going into a closeout game. Look, looking at this Utah one, I want to sort of approach it the way I did OKC. I trusted OKC, and they kept fucking me the first two games. And then I went, well, I tried to overthink it and go, well, fuck it, I'll throw it behind Houston. And I stuck fat with OKC, and they came good. They repaid my faith. So I want to think that Denver will bounce back and actually get a big win here in this series and force at least a game 6 that Utah will then probably win. Because I just feel like without Bojan, Utah just are lacking just weirdly. They need Donnie Mitchell to basically drop 50. We just talked about that in the Shane Heal shoot-a-shoot light-em-up award. But the Bojan thing, And the hotel, did you see this story? Like, on their hotel elevators, they got a big picture of Bojan on each of them saying, "Have a good game, brother." Because apparently he calls everyone brother, and it looks amazing. And I saw that, and I'm like, I would run through a fucking wall. Think about my buddy Bojan. I've met him once. He was a legend. Having a drink at the bar in New York. It was awesome. But still, I want to believe in Denver. Even though they've got fucking the complete walking sieve that is Michael Porter Jr., they're shooting 70% at Utah when MPJ is the primary defender, which is brutal. But I feel like Denver have at least got one big bounce back in them. I think it might be this one tomorrow. And if they don't, I think it's close regardless. I mean, the thing is, like, they could either really roll over like they already have, or they fight really fucking hard. I want to believe in Denver, so give me Denver plus 3.5. Hopefully they'll repay my faith. Then I think Utah shit pump him in game 6. But anyway, that's at 8:30 tomorrow Eastern time in Australia. Give me Denver plus 3.5. And then Clippers Dallas. Unreal. It's all tied up. 2-2 after Luka Magic. Clippers are 6.5 point favorites. The zinger, the extreme zinger meal. The extreme zinger meal is not going to be supercharged.
Supercharged zinger burger.
No, he's not going to be the extreme zinger meal. So he's going to be a game time decision similar to Luka yesterday, apparently. I feel like the Clippers might just lock in, similar to the two games they've won already where they won by 8 and they sort of just stay ahead enough and Dallas just can't fight back far enough. I mean, you basically saw it happening in game 4 anyway. It's just that Luka went on a fucking tear and won him the game. So I might take the Clippers minus 6.5. I think it might be, maybe Paul George shows up, maybe. And if they get anything from Paul George, I feel like the Clippers win. So give me the Clippers minus 6.5 there. So there you go. That is all brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. That's it for today. We are back tomorrow with all the usual dumbassery. This has been fun. Had fun today. It's good stuff. All right, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG. We're all over the socials all the time, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy a hoodie. Go buy a t-shirt, a stubby holder. Buy some merch. It really helps out. Chuck a rating and review onto iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. If you can rate and review, it really does help. Make sure you're subscribed. Fucking love your legends. Help us out, would ya? Come on. Massive thanks to thedailyliquor.com. Use the offer code STRAYA. If you spend 50 clams, and they'll give you a free sixer on me. DOS X. It is an absolute fucking ripper beer. I love it so much. It's so good. So go get a free six-pack. Spend 50 bucks at thedailyliquor.com. They'll drop it off as well. Also, huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now. Huge thanks also go to Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, I Have a Sex Shed, I Grin and Dozer for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. So should you. They can't play shows at the moment. Go pre-order the Goldmines record, buy a House Hats t-shirt. Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR as he answers a question from Brett at the Dream Resort Hotel Bar in Orlando. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because, yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head, some of which I've leased out to the Dallas Mavericks. When I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, blowing kisses and looking after me kids, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from a Brett at the Dream Resort Hotel Bar, Orlando. Hey Joe, I just fucking got fucking fired. I spent the last fucking 7 years eating fucking shit for this fucking company while every incompetent fuckwit above me in fucking management skated through after fuck up after fuck up after fuck up, meaning I had to fucking deal with even more fucking of their bullshit. So, what the fuck do I do now? Have you got any advice? Yeah, I'll have another beer. Why not? Give me that tequila too. Leave the bottle. Oh, it's just tailed off. Jeez. Oh, well, anyway, cheers for rotting in, Brett. Yeah. Look, that's a tough one, mate. Look, lots of people also find themselves in a similar boat at the moment too, which is very, very sad and sucks. But look, in your situation, I feel like the best way to deal with being relieved of your duties or parting ways with a company, that's great HR speak, it's to turn it all into a positive and see it all as a new opportunity. HR, after all, is basically all about positivity and opportunity. Now, what you can do is look back and figure out what you've achieved. Despite having to eat a bunch of poo-poos from management, as you say, you can really drill down on your strengths in your role, what worked, what didn't, and how you can build on those strengths. And yeah, this also gives you a good chance to really examine your weaknesses and take a bit of time to work on them too. Because look, if you're good at what you do and you can acknowledge what you can and can't do well, well, look, you'll bounce back and find another role somewhere else in no time. In the meantime, Brett, knock back a few frosts at the bar for me, drown your sorrows, and then enjoy a well-earned break. I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, once you get shit canned, get shit faced. So, there you go, Brett. Examine your strengths and weaknesses, put the word out there that you're really keen to get back to work, and smash a few tins along the way. And don't get too down on yourself, mate. Remember, you're not defined by your job, you're defined by being a good bloke. Alright, so that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up, yeah.